Okay. Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter in the Romans, being at the 29th verse. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within the large family. And those within and those whom he predestined, he also called, and called to be justified. And those whom he justified, he called to be glorified. What are we to say about these things then? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Let us pray. Lead us, Lord, in this moment. Guide us with the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Can you hear me okay? I get complaints because I speak so softly. I'll try not to. I'll try to speak up. Okay, I have to be honest with you this morning. This sermon caused me a lot of problems. It was difficult for me from the beginning. In fact, it's one of those sermons when I want to walk away from and not work on for a long time. But I did come back to it. When I thought of the terms fatherhood and what it means to be a father, a lot of uncomfortable feelings came up within me. Many years, I've kept things quiet in my mind. I didn't want to think about the things that I went through as a child, so I conveniently opened up a little box and put them there, closed the box, and I'm happy Jack. The problem is that you can only do that so long, and eventually it'll come back and bite you in the butt. So, what does it take to have a baby? I don't want you to go into biological things, but it takes a man and a woman to have a baby. They create a child. In an ideal world, both parents are healthy and can give the child a sense of self-confidence and a sense of belonging. But sometimes we never realize when we bring children into the world is that being a parent is a tremendous responsibility. Because it is here, in this arena, the child is shaped. I always think of a child as a piece of clay, unmolded clay. And as the parents give to this child a sense of self-confidence, a self-worth, he's molded into a human being. The memory of my childhood was clouded. My father was preoccupied with women and alcohol, and was a very mean man. The only time he wasn't mean was when he wasn't drinking. The only problem is he's drinking all the time. I was raised in Texas with anger and extreme prejudice. I'm not proud of that, but I was raised with extreme prejudice. I learned that no matter what mattered, as long as people were just like me, white, as long as I was educated and white, I was okay. Over the years, I had problems with anger in the beginning. I got kicked out of high school 6 times for fighting. All you had to do was look at me wrong and I'd belt you one. I'm not big, but I fight dirty. One time I was in English class, and I hit a boy, and I didn't have time to make a fist, so I broke my thumb. Thumb went out this way. I said, "Oh, wait, well, stop. Oh, I broke my thumb." We stopped. I went to the doctor. They took me to the hospital, put a cast on it. I came back and cold cocked him with my cast. That's the kind of problems I had with anger. This was the pattern of my life set early And it was not a comfortable pattern. It was reinforced over the years by my father. To my father, black people were not good people. Jews were kikes. Mexicans were spicks. Anybody that wasn't like me, my color of skin, my intelligence, was no good. Now, I don't know how this happened, and I can't explain it. But when I turned 16, I suddenly decided, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is wrong. I shouldn't be this way. I'm going against 16 years of training. But something in me was uncomfortable and said, wait a minute, stop. This is not right. I have to change. My anger was still there. My prejudice was still there. But I began to work on it, and I began to reverse it. And I don't know how, but somehow I did. And I'm not an angry person now. Lindy and I never fight. Well, we disagree. But we never fight physically, never. I never would hit a woman. But so I began one day to say, wait a minute. I'm unhappy with who I am. I'm unhappy with the way I am now. I need to change. And I began to change it. Now, for those of you who are here, fathers, mothers, and everything, you don't have to be the way you are. That was the thing that hit me. I didn't have to be that way. I remember not saying something to my father because I knew I'd get the crap beat out of me. If I said anything at all, sitting at the table, backhand. Last time I saw my father, I was 18 years old. He left my mother when I was 11. And I was raised with my sister and brother. But when I turned 18, I needed surgery again. I had multiple operations for bone tumor. And my card had expired out of Fort Sam Houston. So I had to go to Houston, Texas, to get my father to sign an extension. And I never will forget going into the home. He had since divorced my mother, married his secretary, and had four children. Dee Dee, Sandy, Tammy, Cindy, and Mary, all girls. And I walked into his house, and I was really uncomfortable with him as a father. We sat around the table that night, and I remember we had shrimp, and all the kids were around the table. And I was hoping that my father had changed. But right in the middle of dinner, screamed to the top of his lungs, "Stop it! Stop it!" I remember Cindy, who was about 10 months old, 18 months old. She froze like that, and all the kids did. And I knew he hadn't changed. But when I left there, I realized that, no, I don't have to be like that man. I am not him. He is him. I felt sorry for him. And somehow I got my act together. And instead of the bitterness and angry feelings that I have, they're not there anymore. Now, don't make me angry, because I do have a temper. But my prejudice, no longer, I don't want to say I'm not prejudiced, but I want to say that the poison of my prejudicial poison was solved a long time ago. I now look at people as being not only equal, but above me. I look on people as being that. This was not an easy task for me. So when I began to think of fatherhood and father, what it means to be a father, I had conflicting emotions. Now this sermon is going to be run in two phases. One is what I'm going to say, and the other is what you're going to say to me. I don't know if Barlow's ever done a dialogue sermon or not, but that's what this is going to be. Okay? Being a parent is trying. Being a father is trying. I remember I never thought I'd have a child until I met Lindian, and I remember the day she told me she was pregnant. Oh, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have a child. Fear inside me was that I would begin to do the things that my father did to me and to my sister and to my brother over and over again. And as she progressed in her pregnancy, I will never, ever, ever forget going to Good Sam Hospital and walking up into the nursery and seeing a rows of babies. And I picked her out right away. That's my girl. And I'm proud to say, I am really proud to say, I've never laid a hand on Cassie. I wanted to kill her several times, but I didn't. But I wanted to tell her, impart to her the kind of love that I needed when I grew up. So what does it take to be a father? It takes a number of things, and you're going to tell me in a moment. First of all, the thing that came to mind, of course, is love. You have to love your children. If you're a father here today, you have to love your children. Sometimes you don't like them. I remember with Cassie in the cleaning the house, her going to her room, and it looked like somebody threw a grenade in her bedroom, and it blew up. And I'd say, honey, you need to clean your room. Her favorite phrase was, whatever.
Whatever.
Did you clean your room?
Whatever.
Oh, I bought her a clock that says whatever with all the numbers at the bottom. She, fortunately, I'm lucky to have a girl like that because she is a wonderful person. I was telling her Sunday school class, she called me during the Sunday school class to wish me Happy Father's Day. And she never, ever, ever leaves me without saying, I love you. I love you. So as a parent, one of the things that you need to do is physically to show your children you love them. Don't be afraid to touch them, hold them, reach out to them, and say, I love you. I don't care if they're old, if they're adults, I love you. That's so terribly important. Show them that you love them by physical contact and by emotions. The second thing is to be consistent. Oh, there's nothing worse than being inconsistent. I love you. Pow. Backhand. No. Sometimes you and your child will disagree. Yes. But that's okay. That doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. It just means we have a disagreement. But you show them you love them by being consistent. And third thing is be supportive. Supportive. You may disagree with your child. You may not like what he says. You may not like the way he's going. But through encouragement and everything, you can support him. I'm glad Cassie's not here this morning. I didn't like her husband when she brought him home. I thought of all the men she could have picked somebody better looking than that. But she has to live with him. I don't. I remember when she brought him home the first time. Now, this was an accident. I was literally cleaning my shotgun on the couch. And his eyes got about this big, and he said to Cassie, is he trying to tell me something? And I told her, he's not as stupid as he looks. I supported her. That's important, to support your children. To encourage them, to tell them that you love them, and to support them. Being a father does not mean you know everything. Sometimes I have to say to Cassie, I'm sorry, I don't know, honey, but we'll find out. And we sit down and look at it together. And it is a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a feeling I never had growing up that I needed, and that's what your child needs this morning. When babies are born, they do not come with an instruction booklet. I looked on Cassie's butt and I thought I'd see stamp reject. You know, send back if you don't like it. No, no. They're with you for life. Good, bad, and indifferent. They're there. And you make the most of it. You love them more than anything else in the world. That's what I think about when I think about fatherhood. I think about love. I miss that. I think about being consistent with them, consistently showing them that you love them and telling them. And thirdly, being supportive. Now, that's my ideas. I'm going to open up the floor now. Just, I want you to be able to say something out loud. I want you to tell me what qualities of fatherhood. What does it take to be a father? Anybody?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Oh, beautiful. Yes. Yes. You don't hold a grudge, do you? That didn't get you anywhere. You forgive him. Okay. What else? Forgiveness?
Patience.
Patience. Oh. What's that?
Patience
and persistence. Patience. Patience. So as a father, you have to not only understand them, but you have to be patient with them. What happens, Lauren, when your patience run out? Patience and forgiveness. What else? Is there another quality?
Believe.
What's that?
Believe in.
I can't hear you.
Believe in them.
Belief.
Believe in them.
Believe in them. Oh. It's important that a child be raised to believe in themselves, isn't it? I agree. Forgiveness is really important. Patience. And a belief in yourself. Anybody else have an idea? Come on. This is an intelligent congregation. Tell me something. It doesn't have to be men speak up. Women, what do you think a good father would be?
Everything you said.
What's it? Okay.
You gotta change.
What's that? Other things?
Well, I myself had to change too, because I had the difficulties, but yes, you gotta change. Life is not easy.
We've heard from the men. How about the ladies? Come on, ladies. Not all at once. You have any ideas? What do you think your husband should be like as a father?
Just to be there.
What's that?
Be there for them.
Be there. Ah, I like that. Be there for them. What does that mean, Donna?
To me, it means that when things are doing good, you're celebrating, and he's still holding your hand. When things go wrong, he's still there holding your hand.
Ah. What's that?
Encourage them.
I think you can encourage them verbally and physically. Yeah. When I began to rethink my position, I had to lose a lot of what was taught to me. I had to see myself as not being up here and everybody else down there. I did. I think that you have that capacity to believe in them, to make them believe in themselves, to love them, to forgive them, encourage them, to be patient with them. What else? Anything else?
Respect.
You don't always have to agree with your child, do you? I hope not, because I sure don't always agree with Cassie, but I don't make her feel like she's wrong. That's the difference. She is entitled to her opinion. I treat her as an adult. She can disagree with me, and that's fine. We have a disagreement. We don't argue. She sees things one thing, I see things differently, but I respect her as a person. Good. Anything else? Okay. Now you're dealing with a person that has a hearing problem, so I can only got a little bit of what you said. Okay. Open and honest. I like that. I like that. Open and honest. Sometimes it's painful to be honest with a child. But I think the more you are, the more genuine you are with them, they realize that and they see that and they love that part about you. Anyone else? Okay. Well, what happened to me at age 16, I can't explain. I can only explain it to you to say, I can only say that if you have a particular problem in your life, don't run from it. Stop and face it, because you have the capacity in you to change it. Anyone else? Let us pray. It is not easy, our Father, to look into the mirror and see what we see. Sometimes we love what we are, and other times we don't like what we see. We are so grateful that you are there for us, that you are the prime example of being a father, of loving us, of forgiving us, of encouraging us, of trusting us, of pushing us beyond our limit. We thank you for this. We thank you for being there. We pray for every family here, and we pray for those families who could not come this morning. We thank you that there are parents here who have children who love them. We ask you to encourage them and bless them. Now be with us in the remainder of the service. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I think